only thing opponent had to do was capture that time, which you did not have. So you had such a big plus point. Just the opponent just could not defeat you. And he mastered it by doing this practice. So the moral of the story is that if you have a positive mind to achieve something in life, no matter what the external circumstances are, you will be able to achieve. Now here there is a very beautiful saying by John Milton. He says, mind can make heaven out of hell and hell out of heaven. Now, in this story, it is classically, all the situations were like hellish. He was not gifted with, he was physically handicapped. But he could make heaven out of hell. Right? He could make everybody feel proud. The school, the friends, the teacher, him himself. So much confidence he got. Similarly, the same mind can make hell out of heaven. I'll tell another story. Once there was one person who was kind of a middle age, 35-40, and he has got married, he has achieved many things in career prospect, but still not feeling satisfied and happy. And not only satisfied and happy, but because of the fear, the competitive spirit, the envy that why somebody else is getting promotion and not me, there's so many factors affecting his mind, putting all the negative inputs, he decided one day to commit suicide. What he does is, he actually takes a drive to a mountainous area. He parks his bike and goes almost to the edge of the mountain, like, okay, from here I will jump. Is it deep enough? If it's 30-30 feet, if it's still alive, then what will I do? So he is confirmed. He will go straight up. I have to die. So, and when he had parked the bike, one beggar was sitting there. And he was observing silently. And he has seen that previously also many people have come here to do this task. So, he goes there, he comes back just to collect all the courage. It's not easy. It's easy to say, better I end my life. But when you do it, actually it requires courage. So he gathers all the courages, correct, and he goes almost to the edge of the mountain. And he's about to jump when this beggar calls him. Thaisa, 1 minute. आप मरने आए ना जब तुम लोग एंजॉय कर रहे थे आपको क्या कहते हैं कि नहीं नहीं बहुत लोग आते हैं ना मालूम है मेरे को क्या करना है जिंदगी में ऐसा होता है अच्छा है बट इन्हें आपकी वन थिंग नाउ आफ्टर यू डाई लाइफ कौन देखेगा किसी का काम का नहीं है ना जस्ट गिव मी द थिंग ना इफ यू डोंट Anyway, you will die. You are frustrated with everybody else. So it is not that you want to share this life with your friends or relatives or anybody. Mere kaam aaye. So please. So this fellow gives now what happened. Actually, it is a piece gives. So it is no use to me. So it is. Then he goes. He is about to jump. Again, this way. No, any such name. Stronger than sure. When you die, what do you do? Because such expensive clothes will be in the valley. Money you can just go in a vest and a undergarment also, na? So they go on, they go down to it. Again, he's about to jump. After that, थोड़ा बहुत सेवा हो जाएगा जाते जाते यू विल अचीव लॉट ऑफ काइंडनेस एंड लॉट ऑफ पुण्य करना person who had kind of an electric shock. Kare Baba, this fellow doesn't have anything, still is happy and living. I have so many things which he has asked from me. Oh, what is the name? Something like that. Right? So when your mind goes negative, even if the heavenly situations are there, we can make a connection. Just by the association of that kind beggar, he got a clip. No, it's not worth dying for the foolish small problem in life. Because it's only mind which directs you. That, oh, you know, you are the only one who is so miserable and unfortunate. Selected at all. So, very beautiful. I really like this statement. The mind can get heaven out of hell and hell out of hell. Now, let's see what is mind exactly. Our body consists of gross body, which is made up of five elements: earth, water, air, fire, ether. Now, all of us know, I am sure you all must have heard many times, but just to make it a graphic presentation as to where exactly the mind is. And there is a gross body, then there is a subtle body, sukshma shari, that's what it is called in Sanskrit. Subtle body consists of mind, intelligence, and ego. Okay? And that covers the actual our identity. Spirit soul. How many of you agree that we are spirit soul? Wow! More than 50%. So I don't think today we have time to explain that why we are spirit soul. That itself would be another lecture. So let's assume for time being that our real identity is that we are spirit soul. Actually, once in Bengal, there was one teacher who was printing papers. And they had for small children. They had a question, Tomar Porichoy Ki, means what is your identity? And one of Srila Prabhupada's very senior disciples, he happened to see that question. So he asked the teacher that there can be so many answers, no? What is your identity? You can give so many answers. I am a boy, I am a girl, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I am black, I am white, I am Brahmin, I am Kshatriya. So many answers could be correct. So the teacher said the same thing, what I interpreted. Like, okay, all these questions you would give full marks. So then, the proper disciple, he asked that, what is the child right? That I am a spirit soul. It's a zero mark. That identity doesn't exist. It's how unfortunate. We don't teach such values and the real things in school. So actually our real identity is that we are spirit soul. So the soul is covered by subtle body, which is covered externally by gross body. So mind is the part of our subtle body. Okay? Now let's see how mind works. This is also one of the things. Yeah, let's see how. Again, very beautiful analogy that the chariot is compared to a body. Everybody can see this slide. It's a very important slide, and there are a lot of discussion around this slide. So understand this very carefully. The chariot has horses. Okay? Horses are compared to our senses. We have five working senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. Okay? These are five working senses. And basically, all our lifestyle is centered around pleasing one of the senses, or all five of them, or two or more of them at any given time. The horses are compared to senses. Now, the horses are controlled by a chariot, by brain. Okay. So the brains are compared to mind. Very important. And the brains are in the hand of a chariot who is the intelligence. And the very, very deep science If the intelligence loses the rein, that means the horses will go anywhere, wherever they want to go. So at all the time, the rein should be held by intelligence. Yeah? And the passenger who is traveling in this chariot is a soul. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you now. Let us tell one more episode. There was one man, he goes to a mall. And he comes out with a fishing rod, fishing boat, and a motor. So much he purchased for himself. So all the supervisors and everybody is wondering, and how did you convince the customer to buy so much? The owner was really surprised. He said, how did you convince him to buy this truck? This salesman is telling that actually this man came to buy clothing because he was having headache. So I told him that, oh, you are having headache. Actually you are living such a stressful life. Day and night, so many targets to be achieved, and really stressful. Do one thing, take a break. Go for fishing. It's real fun. And everything what you need, we provide you. If you have a fishing rod, so with that you can do fishing just by staying on the shore. So if you go deep inside, it's even great fun. Right? So how do I go inside? Go on a fishing boat. We have fishing boat. Okay, I'll buy fishing boat. Now, how do I carry fishing boat and fishing rod? No. But don't worry, don't. If you have time for that, it will put a nice thing on fishing boat and it will transport to your destination. So, if there is a mind which wanted to buy the clothing, landed up buying so many things. The same thing happens when we go for shopping. 50% sale, 20% sale, buy two, 1 free if you buy two, I mean so many things, because the mind tends to. Even though there is absolutely no need in the house, you will end up buying everything. So this is how, if the mind is not head, in the hand of intelligence, it will go anywhere. Statement I read, that now soul is the root of consciousness, where the mind is the root of consciousness. Mind physically shapes how the body and soul, senses, everything will interact, where it will go. Basically everything is centered around mind. So let's study in deep how the mind works. There's a very beautiful analogy I would like to give. I read recently the book written by one of the very senior brahmachari of temple called Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He has written a wonderful article where he has compared with a computer system, the whole analogy. That how a body is compared to the hardware, the mind is compared with the software, and the user is the soul. Everybody is able to understand what I am saying so far? Everybody is with me? Okay. So the body is the hardware, the mind is the software, and the user is the soul. Okay? Now mind has a lot of stored data of all the past pleasant and unpleasant experiences. And over a period of time, it becomes like a default system. Now, what is the most dangerous thing for the computer? Virus. Virus will corrupt the software and finish. The system is down. So, our mind, which is the software, the mind gets corrupt, the finish. All our focus, distraction, I mean completely we are off track. Mind does lot of imagination power. Whether it is a pleasant experience or the unpleasant experience. Suppose I give you a small example. You all are there in colleges. There is a friendship day or a rose day. And one boy does thank you for friendship day. Friends forever. And you feel wow. Finish. Now imagine the mind will start emerging. Among all the group, he felt that I am a better friend. He really likes me. And then you imagine this. Wow, he's really nice guy. He's coming from a cultured family. What is he having? Actually, we are made for each other. I mean, this is all going on. And nothing has happened. Actually, in reality, there is nothing. But the imagination can take you to what extent? The pleasure in height. Same thing for the unpleasant experiences. Some small problem. Suppose you want to go for a movie or a party and the mother has said, therefore you can't go today because of so-and-so reason. Finish. Mother is the worst. Anything. Right? And she always said that. He never said that. Always my mother has been like that. She is never ever going to be friendly. She will not understand. There is a too much generation gap and blah 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 blah, the mind is denying. Right? So that one small episode which was denied. So we, the mind has the ability to make the thing eternal. As if the happiness is going to last eternal and the misery is also going to last eternal. But my dear friends, it is not true. Nothing lasts eternal. The happiness doesn't last eternal, nor the misery. The life will go on with different tasks and different challenges, and it's up to our intelligence to basically control our mind and go ahead in life. Otherwise, mind drains our energy, and what is our current focus? Suppose for all of us being a student, do something for achieving our career, it will get distracted completely. So this is the mind's power. A lot of imagination. Thinking, feeling, willing. These are again another few functions which the mind does. Mind again has a constant power of hankering and lamenting. As I said, hankering for pleasure, lamenting for unhappiness or unpleasant experience. Always hankering. Like, oh, I missed that party, I missed that fun. I wish I could have gone. I wish my mother would have understood. I wish I had Samsung Galaxy. I wish, you know, I was on WhatsApp. Whatever. So you have unlimited imagination in hankering and lamenting. Bhagavad Gita explains, there are 8 steps how the mind functions. The second chapter, verse 62, says, Satyayato Vishayanto Sa Sangate Shubhashayate Mandar Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodho Vijayate. So how it starts? It starts with contemplation. Thinking. Suppose, how we find a drama? Suppose some alcohol. This is the bottle of a wine. Just the bottle looks so attractive. It says, oh, everything is so nice. If I had, I'm going to have it. Great fun. Now this is just his thinking. Contemplation. Then he gets attached to that thought. No, I have to have it. I'm going through so much stress. Now this is the only stress buster. You get obsessed to that thought. Obsessed to that attachment, then I have to have it right now. I have to have it right now. And then, anger. Who can stop me from doing what I want? Who can stop me? And the second verse says 2.63, Krodha bhavati sammoha sammoha smriti namo. Krodha bhavati sammoha. So what happens when anger comes, when we, whenever you must have noticed, when whatever I spoke, feedback has been given. Any crap we talk, a lot of influence of anger. So, the anger, what it does, it basically bewilders our consciousness, bewilders our memory, and basically the intelligence is lost. And as we saw, what happens? Intelligence is lost, the mind overloads the intelligence, and then the finish. That's a completely downfall of all your activity. So actually then that person will end up drinking, and then going to the washroom and puking, and getting up with hangover, and headache. Then you will realize that, not worth it to do all this. But till then, unless we keep mind under control with intelligence, we are going to suffer time and again. And there will be a lot of challenges. It is not that, tomorrow we will be expert in controlling our mind because we have worked today. The mind has to be controlled by intelligence. No. It will happen that tomorrow your intelligence will be great. Day after tomorrow again, it can be done. So it's a constant endeavor to keep mind under control of intelligence. So now, how does mind has a positive effect on us and a negative effect on us? When the mind has a positive, as we saw in that boy who won the judo match, then how will give us sheer determination, happiness, satisfaction, having seen the opportunity in achieving everything. You will not be the moral of that, I can't do it. No. Whatever I can do. These are all the positive effects. I'll again try to tell you one. How we see half glass full or empty. Simple. Somebody who has the ability to see positive in half glass full. Somebody who has the ability to see always negative. One businessman wanted to set up a shoe market in my area. So he sent one of his employees to do the research in that area. The employee goes and the full amount of research comes back. He says, impossible sir, don't waste your money to set up the whole market over there. Because nobody wears shoes. And then I did a detailed research. People are not used to wearing shoes. Everybody walks barefoot in that area. So who is not wearing shoes? Now the boss sent another employee. He went there. He also did the research. Came back. He's like, boss, don't wait even for a day. Set up a shoe market tomorrow before somebody else comes to know that here nobody has put up this market. He said nobody wears in all the market is ours. It's up to us how to sell. So this is the attitude of positivity. How you see things with a positive mind. Mind has a negative effect, means always morose. Always living fast. Especially girls. I must tell this as a practical experience. We have a habit to live in fast. Whether the different opinion with friends or with parents or with blah blah, anybody. We will always quote. 3 years back, that day you did so and so with school. I was so hurt. I was completely broken hearted. So what did you do today? But always living in past. You did not give me that. You did not do that for me. Always living in past. So much the situation must have been nice and positive today. But somehow be unhappy thinking about past. Because it is our right to be unhappy and live in past. That is the nature of a woman, nature of a soul. So we should also sharpen our intelligence. Don't live in past. Okay? Always complaining mode, lack of confidence, living in past, and in
just because you are crying or just because you are unhappy. So you have to learn to be positive minded, get up, fight back and do what you are supposed to do. Right? If you are a student, study hard. If you are working, work sincerely. If you are a doctor, learn what you are supposed to learn as a doctor. If you are a daughter-in-law, be a family. Respect each pattern which is there on our face. Right? So, this again, the first part we discussed. What is mind? How does it work? What are its positive and negative effects? Okay? Now, the second half of the class is how mind can be our best friend or the worst of enemy if it is not controlled. So, in this Bhagavad Gita shloka says, for him who has conquered the mind, mind is the best of friends. But one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. Huh? So the same mind who is playing the role of a friend also and who is playing the role of the enemy. Can anybody think of any other example where this is a one object, but it can have a positive effect and it can have a negative dual purpose? Anybody? Any example? Sorry? Yeah? Excellent! Excellent! How do you know? You saw my slide? Yes! Very good example. Knife in the hand of a surgeon is capable of giving life to a person. Whereas a knife in the hand of a criminal will take off the life. So everything, what purpose, what intention you are using for, that makes that thing good or bad. Fire is used in winter to put in bombs. Fire is used for cooking food. But fire can devour people, right? Catch fire and suddenly die. Water can quench our thirst in the desert. But flood will kill millions. Right? Food, again, everybody likes to taste nice food, you know, nice jam, pizza, pasta. What happens? You eat in normal portion, it will nourish you. Anything in excess, indigestion, sickness. So, it is not a thing which is good or bad. But how it is positively used or negatively used, that determines whether the thing is good or bad. Now let's see, what are the reasons why our mind becomes uncontrolled? Anybody can speak any guesses? Why our mind becomes uncontrolled? I broadly categorized into two headings: unlimited desire and flickering nature of the mind. Unlimited desire. They said that if you sit with a paper and pen to write what desires you have, I want to do this, I want to have this, just keep on writing, the paper as big as sky and the ink as much as ocean will be less. The mind has so many desires. So many desires. And all these desires are basically again centered around, as I said, gratifying one of those five senses or more. Now, in Shastra, it gives a very beautiful example that how there are five animals who basically trying to gratify one of their senses and ends up completely getting destroyed. This is the example of a glowworm or a moth. What does he do? Gets tremendously tempted to light or fire. Next to me he sees fire, the moth goes there. But ultimately what happens? The moth dies in the fire. elephant. Elephant gets tremendously attracted to she elephant. He goes mad. He goes mad elephant. So hunters, whenever they want to catch the elephant, what he does is, ties up, puts the rod in a chain, he ties the elephant at one place. In front of him, he takes a big khada and puts a nice glass on top to cover. And across that ditch, he puts a statue of a she elephant. The moment, and then he leaves that chain. What happens? The moment that the elephant sees the statue of a she elephant, he runs. The moment he will run, he is going to fall in a ditch and fall by him. Cringe. The example of a deer who gets very attracted to hearing nice music, nice sound. Again, the same thing. The hunter in one corner in the forest plays a beautiful flute or a nice sound and attracts deer towards himself. Because deer, from wherever they are, will run in the direction of the sound. There is a bumblebee. Bumblebee loves the fragrance of lotus flowers. So in the evening time, the lotus is blossomed. The bumblebee sits on that lotus, nicely enjoying that fragrance. And in the night, what happens? The lotus bud closes. Now this bumblebee actually has the tentacles, which can actually pierce the tree. They are very strong. But she is so intoxicated to derive the fragrance that even the soft lotus petal, she doesn't try to pierce and come out. She just wants to keep enjoying the last breath. And what happens? Because the lotus closes, the bumblebee of the suffocation dies. Next day morning when the flower opens, she sees the bumblebee dead. We see that how just in order to enjoy one more senses, this animal, they lose their life. But what we are trying to do? Human beings, it is said, suppose you go for a movie, what you are doing? You are doing all five senses together. You are enjoying all five senses. You are watching something, so the eyes are occupied completely. You are hearing, the ears are occupied. They are nice nowadays, people put air fresheners in the theater. So you are having nice aroma, you are munching some popcorn, you are eating. You are just sitting on a nice cushion, or a boyfriend and a girlfriend are holding each other in hand, and what not. So, basically, what it is doing? Completely distracting you from your goal, from what you want to achieve. So, it's again very important. This is the reason of unlimited desire leads to uncontrolled mind. It is again one very nice analogy they have given in Shweta Upanishad of Kanda. And how when we are bound by this material desire, it's a nice paradox actually. So when we are bound by this desire, we run from places to place in order to fulfill or enjoy the desire. But a person who is free from the material desire does not run. Actually speaking, a person who is free should be able to run. And a person who is bound should not be able to run. Right? But it's a nice paradox that how a person who is bound by the material desire, he runs from one place to another in order to satisfy that sense. The second reason is the flickering nature of the mind. So, with a moth, fish is again attracted to eating food. That is how people fish it. of the mind. It's the second common reason for having uncontrolled mind. Mind is always tuned to accept, reject. There's a very beautiful shloka here where Arjuna is telling Krishna that mind, he has four points. Telling that my mind is restless. Now, if you see, children are also restless. Now, they can't sit at one place. Only at the time, so if you, your mother, I mean, if you have seen in your neighbors and your family, and the night when children are asleep, they look so sweet. But mind is such a restless child that it never sleeps. Mind is always active. It is mad. Second quality of the mind is chanchala ni manakrishna. Chanchala means it is restless. Pramati means mad. It is like a madman. Now, suppose somebody is a psychiatric person. Who is mad? You want to please probably need to give some 2 or 3 pills and he keep lying down on a bed. Then you'll be a very docile person. He will not be active. But a person who is mad but wild, sometimes he would become very violent and they are very strong, healthy. You require 2 or 3 security guards to hold them. But sometimes you admit such a patient and tie them. Tie their hands and feet. You must have seen in movies or somewhere. I've seen such patients in the world also. So, Arjuna is telling that my mind is not only restless, it is mad, but not ordinary mad. Not that it can just remain docile with one tablet or something. It's very balabala, strong. Very strong and violent. And now such a person who is strong and mad, they require a good amount of psychotic treatment, some shocks, some counseling sessions, and so many things to make them at least under control. They will not become a normal human being, but they will become non-violent and at least little sober, sober down. Okay. So here is telling that my mind is restless, my mind is mad, my mind is strong, and my mind is stubborn, not ready to take anybody's help. What do I do for such a mind? Say, Krishna, if you tell me that I have to control a wind, a tornado, which actually goes with a speed of 1000 kilometers per hour, then I can control it very easily. Mind goes to what speed? That. You're much more than that. You just think right now you are in USA. You're in USA. Which is thousands of miles away. So mind, it is very, very flickering and uncontrolled. Just again tell you one small story. One, there are three thieves. Three thieves means their job is to rob. So they were bored of robbing jewelry and belts, and they wanted to have a party time. So they decided that let's steal a pot of peel from a Mithaiwala's shop. But unfortunately, there was only one pot of peel. So they stole the pot, moving. Thieves normally are not trained to share and no such positive habits or positive good qualities. So they made a plan. Then okay, what we will do is keep this pot of thieves under the moonlight, the whole night. And because the moonlight will make it more maintained. And tomorrow morning, in the night, whoever gets the best dream will eat this pot of cake in the morning. All of them unanimously agreed. Okay, okay, wonderful. This left morning, everybody was very eager. They all planned up that my dream has to be the best dream. So the first person says that,
you know what dream I got?
Dream?
Name, if I tell you my dream.
Then I got a dream where I was in Brahma Loka with your Brahma.
Everything was strong and
what an environment. It was so pleasant. And I was just thinking that it is God, you know, coming down to eat this pot of tea. They are enjoying, they are like an unlimited such pot. So, the money that is better, it will go down. You will eat that pot of tea. I came down. So, the second thing, he is telling, oh wow, nice dream. But you know what dream I got? I got a dream when I am in Shiva Loka, which is higher than Brahma Loka. So he wanted to prove it, but he got a better dream. I was in Shiva Loka and Mahadev is most merciful. You know, he fulfills all your desires. He gets pleased so easily. And I was just enjoying and relishing that dream. Now they ask the third person, that, okay, you share your dream. So then these first two for their mind, क्या dream अच्छा नहीं है? For their part क्या भी ये तो वैकुंठ लोक में जाएगा? बोलेगा अरे मैं तो वैकुंठ लोक में। But क्या बोलूँ? I don't know from where to begin. So these two for their ठीक है। अभी either of us have to share this part. He is on the way. So I got a dream and Hanuman ji came to mind. Just so he came with a head shot, very angry. I was scared. I was frightened. You know what happened? What did he tell you? So he told me, eat this pot of kill right now. I just walked. I took the pot of kill. And I had to eat it. I was so scared. Who was like, huh? What? You already finished? Why did you not call? How do I call? You were in Brahma Loka, you were in Shiva Loka, how do I call you to share a meal with me? And I had to worry. So, this is how the mind can also play a lot of tricks. Come to the conclusion, we discussed a lot in how the mind is uncontrolled, but all of us want to sharpen our intelligence. Do we? Yes? So if intelligence is weak, that means those reins are weak. Reins are weak, horses will go astray. So we all want to sharpen our intelligence. This is a very beautiful formula. ABCD formula, which I like really try to make it very, very simple so that take home message we remember. These are the simple formulas we can use to control our mind. So A stands for association, as we saw in the drama also. But how that mind was getting so tempted to curl. Once that person, the living entity, got the association of Bhagavad Gita, Vaishnava friend, the mind became subdued. Mind also started chanting. Okay. Then the mind in fact becomes our best friend. And how? The person was sleeping, mind was waking up, making that person up. Hey, you are chanting for us, so what? Yes, only that happened. So mind becomes our friend. Previously that very mind which was enemy became the friend. So positive association, very, very important. And at the same time, avoiding negative association, which is equally important. All of us have heard the story of Ramayana. And how Kaikeyi, who loved Ram, right? She loved Ram much more than Bharat. She was the happiest person when she came to know that Ram was going to be coronated as the king of Ayodhya. But what happened? She gave her ear and heart to somebody who was negative. Mantra. And Mantra corrupts. She completely lost her mind. This Rama watching it, he's speaking in sense. Maybe my son should be spirited as a slave and I have to disagree with the proposal. And the whole Rama falls. So how, along with having a positive association, like how all of you took out the time to come today, you all come regularly for Chetna Festival. And wherever you all are staying, there are a lot of local programs are also happening. So go regularly. Associate, make friends. So these are the true friends. They will help you in your positive times and your negative times. Because it is not that if we are depressed or if we are going through some negative emotions, it is natural. Right? In fact, all of us will, I go through negative emotions. So does that mean that I am not controlling my mind or not my intelligence is gone? No. It's a natural thing. But what you need at that time, you need good friends to remind you to be positive. It is not going to last for long. What I have spoken is some friends should be there to remind you. Because it is a tendency to keep forgetting. That's the power of Kali Yuga. And why we have to speak this again and again and again? Because we forget. We remember last Sunday morning, 9:30, what did you eat for breakfast? Who remembers? Because the mind has a nature. Keep forgetting. In a way, it is nice. Imagine everything we keep remembering, how difficult it will be. Whatever, at least only when the mood goes down, we will pass and we remember. Every now and then, if you remember that, it would be so difficult to do. So, engage mind with positive activity. That is again a very, very important thing. I will just share you this one story. There once one person approaches the king that I have come here for justice. I've been ridiculed by all the villagers. They make fun of me and I'm completely frustrated. I feel as if I should leave this kingdom and go somewhere else because I can't anymore live here. King gave a nice hearing and he called his executioner. Powerful executioner came with a sharp sword.
Teaches two very nice points that to deal with mind and how
the mind should be ignored or neglected. Don't listen to mind talking. It's the best way to tame a mind. Like how a lion and a circus, a ferocious animal. But how does the ringmaster tame him? 3 days he puts him in a corner, no food, nothing, he becomes completely weak. And then he gives him some portion of food, which is oh, ringmaster is now only survivor, savior. And then he tells him, okay, jump through this ring, the lion will jump. He will start acting in a circus. Similarly, mind said, should be tamed by ignoring. The mind will say, I want this, 100 things. Just ignore. When you ignore, after a few days, the mind becomes weak and gets controlled simply by intelligence. Okay? Another thing, never trust your mind. It is most of the time when we trust the mind. There is one very beautiful like story in Shastra, there are a lot of stories. One of them I would just like to share. They call it Putana. When she came, everybody knows who is Putana, the character of Putana. When she came to Braj, to kill Krishna, she basically, came in a very beautiful form of a goddess of vengeance. And even Yashoda Maya and Rohini Devi, they believe that she is a nice demigoddess who has come to bless our son. So when we trust our mind, there will be always disaster. Third, chanting. It's called mantra meditation. Mantra has a very nice meaning. Mantrayate iti mantra. That is the best and the most powerful tool to control mind. And in this age of Kali, it is said that chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is given in Kali Sandara Upanishad, is the best way to purify our mind and to perfect our life. And last but not the least, the diet. So we all are going to have now the practice of C and D. We'll have dancing kirtan for some time, followed by a nice Krishna conscious samkirtan prasadam, and that will definitely help us control our mind. Thank you very much. And I'm actually sorry to go beyond time because it really started quite late. Anybody, I don't think you have any time for question and answer. No. Okay, if anybody has any question, you can ask me during Vina Prasad. Most welcome. So can we speak or any announcement? Yes.
Thank you, Master, for the wonderful class.